You're listening to Unveiling Mormonism from PursueGod.org.
Imagine you're standing at the edge of a massive canyon. On the other side is God, holy, radiant, perfect. And on your side is just you. And between the two of you is a gap so wide, so deep, that no amount of jumping or climbing or good person points will ever get you across. Historically, religion has always tried to build a bridge across that gap. And that bridge usually has a toll collector standing on it. Someone who tells you, if you want to talk to the big guy, you got to go through me. I have the keys. I have the authority. I have the priesthood. That's the word that most religions or churches tend to use. In the world of Mormonism, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, this isn't just a metaphor. It's the literal foundation of their entire religious system. If you're a 12-year-old boy in an LDS ward, that's what they call their churches, you're told that you hold the power of God. And if you're a man looking for exaltation, you're told that you need the Melchizedek priesthood to get into the highest heaven. We're going to talk about all those concepts today, and I'll make sure to put some links in the show notes for more articles related to what the Bible actually says about all of this, the Aaronic priesthood, the Melchizedek priesthood, the concept of priesthood in general, and how the Mormon Church basically got it so wrong. Here's the edgy question for today. What if the bridge doesn't need a toll collector anymore? What if the restoration, quote unquote, of the priesthood that Joseph Smith claimed to bring back actually misses the point of the Bible entirely? Today on the podcast, we're pulling back the curtain on the LDS priesthood. We're going to compare the Aaronic and the Melchizedek offices of the actual Bible, and we're going to see why the priesthood of all believers, that was a concept that was birthed out of the Reformation 500 years ago, why that concept is the most liberating truth you've ever heard. Let's start with the basics. In Mormonism, the Aaronic priesthood is the lesser priesthood. It's for the young guys, deacons, teachers, and priests starting at age 12, and this is for boys. They pass the sacrament, they baptize, they help with church chores. It's seen as a preparatory office. But if we go back to the Old Testament, the Aaronic priesthood looks nothing at all like a youth program. First, let's talk about lineage. In the Bible, you didn't get the priesthood because you were a worthy young man. You got it because of your DNA. You had to be a literal biological descendant of Aaron, the brother of Moses, which means you had to be from the tribe of Levi, period. If an outsider, meaning anyone not from that specific bloodline, tried to do the work of a priest, the Bible says the penalty, this is crazy, the penalty was death. You can read that in Numbers chapter 3. So that's lineage. But second, let's talk about maturity. The law of Moses talks about priests waiting to start their formal service until they were about 25 or 30 years old, Numbers chapter 4. Why? Because it was a high-stakes adult job. They weren't just passing bread. They were literally slaughtering 1,000-pound bulls and carrying heavy furniture through a desert. So to be in the Aaronic priesthood in the Old Testament, you couldn't just be a 12-year-old boy. So that's maturity. But the biggest difference is in this third category. We're going to call it purpose. The biblical Aaronic priesthood was about one thing, blood sacrifice. Aaronic priests were the bridge between a holy God and a sinful people, showing that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So when Mormonism claims to restore the office of the Aaronic priesthood, that's their claim. That's what Joseph Smith said. They've actually reinvented it. They took a hereditary, sacrificial, adult vocation and turned it into a modern organizational hierarchy for teenagers. But more importantly, and this is what I think Joseph Smith and Brigham Young and Mormons even today still miss, the Bible tells us that the Aaronic priesthood was a shadow of things to come. Once the real thing, his name was Jesus, once the real thing showed up, the shadow wasn't needed anymore. Now let's go deeper. The higher priesthood in Mormonism is called the Melchizedek priesthood. This is the one men receive in the Mormon church to perform temple ordinances and to lead the church. They claim Joseph Smith received this Melchizedek priesthood directly from Peter, James, and John. But here's the important part. When you open the Bible, the Melchizedek priesthood isn't a category of office that thousands of men hold. It's a unique office held by one person. That's right, one single solitary person in history. And you have to look at Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 and 24 to find out who that person is. It says there that there were many priests under the old system, for death prevented them from remaining in office. But because Jesus lives forever, his priesthood lasts forever. The Greek word used there for forever or unchangeable in some translations is the word aparabatos, and it means untransferable. It's actually a legal term. I want you to hear this. It means that Jesus' priesthood cannot be passed from one person to another. Why? Because he is still alive. Jesus is what Hebrews tells us. The whole New Testament tells us this. Jesus is our great high priest in the order of Melchizedek, and he's alive. He never died, and so he doesn't need a replacement. See, in the Old Testament, the priests died, so they needed a replacement, but Jesus conquered death. He doesn't need a successor. He doesn't need a local high priest or an elder in Utah to hold his authority for him. Guys, he's got it covered. Jesus has it covered. In Mormonism, they talk about the keys of the priesthood. But if we're reading the New Testament correctly, Jesus didn't give those keys to a select group of men to keep all for themselves. He used those keys, hear this, he used the keys of the priesthood to open the door for everyone. And this is what brings us to the most radical, edgy part of the gospel that the Reformation rediscovered. The Reformation back 500 years ago with Martin Luther and his buddies, they discovered the priesthood of all believers. See, for centuries, religious systems, not just Mormonism, by the way, other religious systems too, like Catholicism, they tried to put the clergy on a pedestal. They said, hey, we're the spiritual ones, you're the secular ones. We read the Bible for you, we pray for you, we go to God for you. That's our job as priests. But look at what 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says. It says, but you are not like that, for you, talking to a bunch of regular Christians, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Notice who Peter's talking to. He's not talking to the apostles. He's talking to the whole church, to the stay-at-home moms, to the construction workers, to the students. He's saying, you regular people, now that Jesus died and rose again, you regular people are the priests now. See, when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that the heavy veil in the temple, the one that kept regular people away from the presence of God, was torn in two from top to bottom. And here's what God was saying with that. The middleman is out of a job. The door is wide open for everyone. In a system like Mormonism, your worthiness and your standing with God are often tied to how well you follow the priesthood leaders. But in the Bible, your standing is tied to Jesus, because Jesus is our great high priest. And this changes everything. It means, number one, that you have direct access. You don't need a bishop to confess your sins to. You can go straight to the throne of grace. Number two, it affects your everyday ministry. Your priestly work isn't passing a tray on Sunday. It's how you love your neighbor. It's how you raise your kids. It's how you share the gospel out in the workplace. And it impacts your equality. There's no higher or lower status in the kingdom of heaven. A pastor or an elder isn't more spiritual than a new believer. We're all just beggars who found the bread, telling other people where to find it. We started this episode with an image of a canyon, the wide gap between us and God. Religion, including the LDS priesthood system, tries to build a bridge made of authority, keys, worthiness interviews. It tells you that if you work hard enough, if you follow the right men, the right leaders, then maybe you'll make it across. But the message of the Bible is different. The Bible clearly teaches that the bridge has already been built, and it's not made of human rituals. It's made of the rugged cross of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that we don't need a system. We need a Savior. And the good news is Jesus is the Savior, and he's already done all the work. The veil is torn. The door is open. You can walk right in. And listen, if you've already placed your faith in Jesus, if you're already a follower of his, then you're already a priest, not because you're 12, not because you're ordained by a man, but because you are united to the one who holds the only priesthood that matters. If you want to learn more on this topic, if you want to take a deep dive on the priesthood, just go over to pursuegod.org, go to the keyword section in the menu, and scroll down to priesthood. That's where you'll learn what the Bible actually teaches about this important concept.
Thanks for listening. If you haven't already, please consider rating our podcast. It's a simple way to help us reach more people. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.